Investors, get jiggy with it.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Wall Street's been looking for a reason to throw a party. Yesterday, investors got the invitation, the minutes from the most recent Federal Reserve meeting. Many of the Fed governors indicated this long string of interest rate hikes is almost over. We might see one or two more increases, they said. And so, without further ado, let's do the numbers. The major indexes all gained close to 2%. The Dow climbed 195 points to 11,268. The Nasdaq climbed 45 to 2356. And the S&P 500 gained 22 to 1307. Actually, the Fed news sparked little investor parties all over the world. India's stock market, for one, hit an all-time high. That's after a one-day plunge last week. Miranda Kennedy rides the roller coaster.
India's stock market has been on the up and up and up recently. Investment from inside the country is growing, but India has U.S. investors to thank for the bulk of the investment. They're pouring billions into the Bombay-based market. But it's not all fun and games. Last week, the Americans began to worry that Asia's second fastest-growing economy can't keep the pace. Stocks nosedived.
Well, I think the volatility indicates that more and more people in the market are sensing some kind of topping out.
Subir Gokarn is an economist with India's largest credit rating company.
But I think there is a lot of underlying strength, and so I would not classify this as a bubble.
The proof is in the pudding, he says. And today, the stock market not only recovered, it hit a new high as the central bank decided not to raise interest rates. In New Delhi, I'm Miranda Kennedy for Marketplace.
In New Orleans today, the leaders of Delta's pilots union get together. They're trying to decide whether to accept a new round of pay cuts and perhaps an end to their pension plan. Marketplace's Elisa Roth reports.
Nobody's saying what the terms of the deal are, but many believe Delta's pilots will agree to the new offer, if only because they have no alternatives. Standard & Poor's Philip Bagley says the outcome may depend partly on pilots at Northwest Airlines. They vote on wage concessions May 3rd.
The pilot leadership of the union at any airline would want to be able to show that other groups around the industry are being forced to accept similar sacrifices to help sell that deal to their rank and file.
And Bagley says both Northwest and Delta could affect American Airlines, which already got wage concessions but may have to ask for more. Delta would be in big trouble if its pilots refuse the offer, but if they agree to it, Bagley says, Delta could emerge from bankruptcy in fine shape. I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
Fees, fees, fees. The life of a bank customer. A new survey from Bankrate.com says fees have really gone up in the last 8 years. The average penalty for a bounced check jumped from $20 to $27, and ATM fees now average $1.60. 98% of banks charge non-members to use their machines. Oh, and one more thing. Oil prices, they're down a little bit, but still at $71 a barrel, and the dollar took a hit today against other currencies. This is Marketplace. It's a no-no for companies to give money to political campaigns, but mortgage giant Freddie Mac apparently did it anyway. Now it's paying a $4 million fine to the Federal Election Commission. Stacey Vanek Smith reports.
They reportedly called it political risk management. Between 2000 and 2003, Freddie Mac threw fundraisers for members of the House Financial Services Committee, the body that regulates it. Freddie was allegedly paying consulting firms $25,000 a month to organize the illegal events. Freddie admits to no wrongdoing, and the FEC won't pursue the issue beyond the fine. Securities attorney Lance Kimmel says it's not enough.
It's a message of you better make sure you set aside some funds to pay the penalty, but rest easy. No one's going to jail. Nothing more serious is going to come of it. This is one of the most egregious violations we've heard about, and while the fee is very large, it's just a fine.
The $3.8 million Freddie will pay marks the FEC's largest fine ever. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith for Marketplace.
From American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. And by SaveAndInvest.org, helping military service members and families manage their money. Online at SaveAndInvest.org. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Sustainability Fund of the Tides Foundation, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow. As you might have heard, Chinese President Hu Jintao is touring the U.S. this week. Tomorrow he meets with President Bush. Surely they'll get around to the issue of piracy. We're taking a closer look at it this week as well. Companies around the world say they lose $250 billion a year to intellectual property theft, and China is the worst offender. Personal finance expert Chris Farrell joins us now. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
It sounds like piracy really has become an industry all on its own.
Piracy is a global business. It's part of the whole process of globalization, supply chains, management know-how, quick turnaround, just-in-time inventory, ripping off as quickly as possible and getting a pirated product out into the market.
How do you attack this problem?
What the experience has been is that if you lower the price of your CD, so it's still above the pirated, but the gap really narrows. So let's say we're going from a gap of $10 to $3 and you cut it price in half, still above the pirated, it's a better product. And what they found out is that the pirated CDs go down. So part of it, I think, is this global story about American business losing pricing power over its product.
Obviously, American companies and Chinese companies and companies in general think that piracy is a bad thing. It is a bad word. But does everyone feel that way?
Not really. Now, this is where economists have somewhat mixed feelings, because what pirates are entrepreneurs. There was a speech that Rupert Murdoch gave about a decade ago. You know, he talked about thinking about pirates as entrepreneurs and their experience in India, where they were being ripped off with Sky Channel, and they were really upset about all these pirates. And he said, you know, we realized, hey, you know what? These are entrepreneurs. How can we work with them?
Work with them, but
they're
stealing.
How can we work with them and make money a different way? So what he realized is they were stealing the satellites and stealing the signal, but they were spreading the satellites around the country. So rather than waste money prosecuting them, start working with them. So these satellites go around the country and then go to Coca-Cola or some other multinational and say, hey, guess what? We got real penetration here.
Taking that Murdoch example, is there a way for other companies to learn from that? Have the philosophy, if you can't beat them, join them?
I think that what you really want to do is take what's essentially a frontier economy. You're thinking about the United States in the 19th century. The United States was a pirated economy. We stole everything from everybody from around the world. Now, and there were a lot of complaints about it, but these were also our entrepreneurs. And as it became mainstream, as the law started to be enforced, you have a dramatic change there. But let's just remember, how do we bring these pirates, these entrepreneurs, into the mainstream economy? And simply trying to crack them over the head isn't going to work.
Chris Farrell is economics editor for our weekend program, Marketplace Money. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening and have a great day.
American Public Media.
I'm going to say this twice because
the world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.